I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, where we are thrilled to be gathering together for Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, where Jesus entered Jerusalem knowing that he would be tried and crucified. My dad, Pastor Salem, was grateful that viewers opened their doors and let us come in to worship together. We hope you will invite your friends and family to watch with us today and next week for Easter Sunday. Today we want to share a note of thanks with you from Nebraska. We just finished watching another beautiful message from Pastor Salem. What a blessing to have CWH come into our home. When I hear one of his sermons, I think it is the best one yet, and then comes another one. We are thankful to have the CWH staff working to bring Pastor Salem's uplifting sermons going out to everyone. Now let's join my dad for the Palm Sunday message titled, The Savior is King of Kings. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you again to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has gone by, and here we are. We're going to gather together all over the world, and we're going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Palm Sunday this weekend, and so we think of Jesus, the great and wonderful King, and how we can serve him and follow him. If for our scripture, we're looking at Psalm 145, where the psalmist writes, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Dear Heavenly Father, we are gathering together all around the world to worship you, to give you praise, because there's one, only one God, the great God Jehovah, the God of Israel. And we thank you that we can know you personally and be your child through faith in your dear Son, Jesus. And so all we do and say today, may all glory be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jan is going to sing for us today, this Palm Sunday, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." God bless you, Jan.
Oh,
Thank you, Jan. God bless you. And that's what we're doing. We're crowning him Lord of all. And I just love that song. And all praise and glory to Jesus Christ. This is Palm Sunday. And we're thinking about the great Savior who came riding on a donkey. Looked like nothing to the world, but now he rules the whole world. And the day's going to come when every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every knee is going to bow and be bent, and every head is going to bow. And those of you who take his name in vain and you don't have any time for him, you'll have time then. But it'll all be too late. Everything will be settled. Because if you're going to go to heaven, you have to get your ticket now. You have to get it before the grave. That office closes at the grave. And if you have life, as long as you have life, you can come to Jesus. But once you die, after the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, after death, the judgment. So come to Jesus, the great King of Kings, the wonderful Savior. Well, we have some letters. And oh, by the way, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, if you want to locate that. But we just, first of all, I just have to thank you for the letters. We all appreciate them so much. We read every last one of them. And so just keep us in mind. And I'm going to give the address in just a little bit. Get your pencil and paper ready. So you don't miss it, because we'd love to hear from you. And you can maybe you tell us something you'd like to hear us preach about. Maybe you'd like to have a question or something. We try to help everyone who writes. Well, our first letter is from Chicago, Illinois. And they write, "It is refreshing to know that your ministry is without fanfare, but shows your concern for kingdom building. That is in bringing souls to Christ. May God continue to bless sincerely with the love of God." And I'm telling you, there's nothing fancy about us. I'm a farm boy, raised in the Depression, came through the Depression years. God have mercy. There were hard years. And we lost our farm, but we didn't lose Jesus. We didn't lose our Lord. And we had the wonderful walking with the Lord, had good Christian friends. Our church was strong. And so it didn't matter if there was a depression or not. God was shining in all his glory. And so we just, that's all we are, just everyday people. Here's Ashley, North Dakota. And this is a lady that writes, and she said, "I'm so glad I found your service. I now live in Ashley, North Dakota, and am widowed 1.5 years. My husband and I first attended your service June 8, 1974 in Aberdeen, the day after we were married. This was on our honeymoon trip to Yellowstone as we started out. Now, as teachers, we worked many years together in North Dakota and Arizona. I thank you so much for your message of hope and salvation." 1974, you're not going to believe this, but I remember that couple who came to church that day and said they had been married the day before, and they were on their honeymoon trip to Yellowstone Park, and God blessed them. Now, one of them was with the Lord, and he didn't have all that many years, and you know, that's the way we have to live. We don't know when God's going to call us. We don't know when we're going to go, and you better be ready. And you say, "Oh, I'm going to do mine. I'm going to have mine on my deathbed." Well, if you're killed in an accident, you won't have much of a deathbed, will you? And so you need to settle it right now. And I'm praying that during this service today, I'll tell you about opening your heart to Jesus. And you just do that. You get ready and you ask the Holy Spirit. Then tell him you're going to take Jesus this Palm Sunday. Wouldn't that be a good day to crown him the King of your life, Palm Sunday? Here is Weldon, Iowa. And they write, says, "Seems like the world is turning darker by the day. Keep on shining the light of the Lord with your messages. Thanks to you and your staff and all of the music." And so that is right. We are a shining light in the darkness. And the reason we can shine is because we have the Word of God. We have Jesus, the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. And we have, there's always hope. And that I don't care how dark the day gets, there's always that light to the gospel. And there's always hope you can come to Jesus. And oh, I hope you'll do that. Oh, I just wish, wouldn't that be something if thousands of people had come to Jesus today? Who knows? I believe it's going to happen. Scottsdale, Arizona. And they write, caught your show by chance while visiting Gallup, New Mexico. We were on DirecTV at the motel. God bless your ministry. So here's a hotel and a motel, and they're using our service. And these folks are wishing us, worshiping with us way down there in New Mexico. Oh, we hear from all over the world. And isn't that wonderful with electronics that we can just get the gospel out to everyone and that everybody will have a chance and everybody will find hope. And I don't say you're all going to have good health and be rich and wealthy and all of that, but I'm going to tell you, if you accept Jesus, you'll be happy. You will have a peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away either. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, and you'll have peace and you'll have joy. You say, well, I got a broken leg and it hurts. You can still have joy. You can still have that thing hurting and have joy and peace and contentment. Oh, come to Jesus. Here is Omaha, Nebraska. Your example of running the race with all that is in you has encouraged me to do the same thing. I'm getting on in years, and all the aches and pains that go with advanced age and make it easy to sit back and feel sorry for oneself. But you and the Holy Spirit worked in concert to give me the swift kick I needed to get busy and get back into the race. Thanks. Now, he doesn't say how old he is. Sounds like he's 100 with all these aches and pains. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. We are to serve Jesus as long as we have breath. You know what Jesus told Adam? He says, in the sweat of your brow, you're going to work how long? Till you return back to the ground. God didn't, no reason, there weren't reservations in there. Now all of that's the retirement things. Now you may have to stop your job. Maybe say your job is bull riding and you're maybe 75, 80 years old. Well, you probably should quit bull riding. But you can witness for the Lord. You can go and help some people in trouble. You can rake their lawn. You can do their windows. You can just do something to help somebody else in Jesus' name. And don't stop, because that's why you are here. People are, I said, I don't know what I'm here for. Well, I said, I don't know either. We're just sitting there. But if you get to work, I can tell you what you're doing. You can help somebody. And so here's a man, he got the message. Good enough. A swift kick, he says, and he's on the way. Praise the Lord. I'm going to see him in heaven and just congratulate him. Here's Cheyenne, Wyoming. My husband and I work weekends and cannot attend church very often. We found your service while camping on our little TV on an antenna. We've been listening to you ever since and so thrilled to find a way to get the word and message from your service. Also, my mother's in a nursing home. We have certainly helped her with your kind words and preaching and singing the truth and the light. Well, we hear from a lot of these in retirement homes, and they're in wheelchairs, and they're in bed, some in bed, some can't get around. But we can worship with them, and we can give them courage. And that's part of the Christian worship hour. We want to do three things. First thing, we want to honor God and glorify God. That's the first thing. The second thing is we want to bring sinners. We want to bring the unsaved. We want to bring the unbeliever, the one who's never accepted Jesus. We want you to accept Jesus and find everlasting life. And the third thing we want to do is help God's people. Like God told Isaiah, he says, comfort ye my people. And this one man writes, he's advanced age, and he's got some aches and pains. Wait till you're 94, and you'll have pains where you didn't even know you had nerves. But that doesn't hurt a thing. It just keeps you jumping and keep you going, and quit crying around about it, and just thank God that you can witness for Jesus, and you go do some good for somebody. And get your eyes off yourself. Get them on somebody else, helping them, struggling along. And if you're on a bed of sickness and you can't move a muscle, you can pray. And that's where the power is, in prayer. Maybe that's why God's left you here, so that you can pray for God's people and God's work and God's kingdom, and pray for your neighbors and pray for your friends and pray for the salvation of the lost. Oh, it's great serving the Lord. Here's Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you for the new song. I read it many times. Now, what is the new song? The new song is a little Bible study we put out every month. This month, the little Bible study is about the results of the resurrection. All for the whole month of March is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is free and postpaid. It is a valuable little paper. And you write to us. I'm going to give you one more letter, then I'm going to give the address. So get your pencil ready, because you won't remember it, I'm sure, in your mind. If you got a mind like I have, you won't remember it. And you can write to us, and it's a Bible study. And then we have the sermons we're going to preach and the text, so you can look them up and read them ahead of time. We have excerpts from many of the letters that we write. So you get ready. You'll want to get the new song. But here's the last one. Marshalltown, Iowa. Thank you for your faithful service as we who are in assisted living, nursing homes, and independent facilities listen to the gospel preached and the old hymns that have a sermon and song. All my family, look at here, all my family are in heaven. I can hardly wait for the Lord to come or for him to take me home. That's the hope, the wonderful hope we have. We're going to see Jesus and we're going to see our loved ones again. And you don't have that hope if you don't have Jesus. And so this is what you do. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And what you do is you write and you tell us if you accept Jesus, we'll send you literature. Or just write and tell us your situation and we'll pray for you. And send a gift, because we have to have your help. We are dependent entirely on God's people. We're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or institution. It's God's people as God lays it on their heart. So you pray and ask God, should I help and how much should I do? And some of you can't give much and maybe you can't give anything, but some of you can give and you can give hefty. So just pray about it. And what we've made an agreement with the Lord. As long as he provides, we'll keep singing and preaching. And when he doesn't provide, we'll close up and go fishing. And that wouldn't be so bad either, see? And so you write to us. If you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com on the internet. And here's a nice thing. Maybe you're in Timbuktu and maybe you're on the other side of the earth. You can send a gift wherever you are. You say, well, our currency wouldn't work in the United States. We got magic here. And what we do is if you send your gift, they'll give it in United States money and we'll pay our bills. How do you do that? Well, it's the ChristianWorshipHour.com. It'll say donate, punch that thing, and it'll say PayPal. You're going to pay your pals to preach the gospel. And then you put that in, and we'll get it in American currency and pay our bills. And then we have one other thing I want to mention, and we have a little booklet we're putting out called Can a Christian Lose His Salvation? Can you lose your salvation? Can you be saved and lost? Can you know you're saved? It's a 12-page booklet, and we send it free and postpaid. But if you can make a donation, make a donation. I know people in prison can't do it. People on Social Security, some of them don't have anything. But some of you can do it. And you don't have to put the whole title. Just put salvation. We'll know what it means, salvation, and we'll send it. And I'm going to tell you, it's not that I died and came back to earth again. It's not what the politicians say or the diplomats or all of the rest. It's what does God say? 12 pages on how to know the Lord and how you can be sure of your salvation and know you're going to heaven. So you get that. It's boxed for you on shortwave. It's a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So God bless you. Now I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play, and you do what God tells you to do. Lord in heaven, thank you for your people who now for almost 40 years have stood by this ministry. Thank you for everyone. A lot of them gone on to heaven, gone on to their reward and got their reward for serving you and paying the way so the world could hear. And now I thank you for those who are here now who are helping us, who are praying for us, and now who are giving liberally so that we can carry on the wonderful message, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Mark chapter 11, and this is what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. And it's Palm Sunday, and he rides into the temple, this wonderful Savior. And so we're going to read that. And then in our prayer, you know, we pray for believers. We have a different country every week. And today we're going to pray for those in the Congo. Our brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ in Congo, undergoing persecution, and we pray for them and love them and just going to see them in heaven someday. But this is the writing of Mark, beginning with the first verse of the 11th chapter. But when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye do this? Say that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he'll send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Heavenly Father, we all just wish we could have been there. Wouldn't that have been something to see you riding that donkey down the Mount of Olives, cross the little brook Kidron, up the next side into the city of Jerusalem? We could have been in that crowd. But Lord, we can still praise you. We can still praise your name and thank you. We can still tell others how wonderful you are. We can still worship you in spirit and in truth. And we can be a part of that great coming kingdom of God that's going to come to this world, and nobody's going to stop it. And when Jesus comes, he's going to set up his throne in Jerusalem and rule the whole wide wicked world. And he's going to bring forth peace over all the world. Oh, how this poor world needs peace. When the Prince of Peace comes, peace will come. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And now, Lord, today we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Congo. And all we hear about how they suffer and how many times they have to give their life, how many people give their life, how many little children are orphaned because of their parents put to death, and how the pain must be terrible. And, oh, Lord, we just thank you for those who are martyred for your sake. In 1 second, they're in your presence, and they wear the martyr's crown. And when we get to heaven, we'll see them, and they'll wear those crowns to the glory of God. But we pray for those left behind, the mothers, the wives, the children, the poor little children. Oh, God, we just wish you'd come and put an end to it all. But in the meantime, we know that you'll give them strength, and we know that you'll watch over them, and we know that it's all going to end well because we're going to meet you face to face, and won't that be something? So bless us in our service today, and Lord, to those who don't know you, may this Palm Sunday be the day they'll say, yes, I'm going to make him the king of my life. I'm going to take him as my Savior. May there be multitudes. For that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has a song, and you're really going to like it. It's called Holy Ground. And God bless you, Hank. Thank you,
Pastor. As I walked through the door, I sensed his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple, Jehovah God Almighty. On holy ground, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels. Let us pray.
Thank you, and God bless you. And you know, that's just what we do when we have these services. It's holy ground. And I'll tell you why it's holy ground. It's because we have a holy God and a holy Word of God, the Bible. And we exalt that Bible and live in that Bible. And when we preach, we include the Bible all the time. It's holy ground, and this service today, we're on holy ground, and it's a special day, and it's Palm Sunday, and you know, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Now, we've been having these services on the beautiful Savior, and we looked last week, you know, at the Lamb of God and how He paid for our sins on the cross, and then we think of Him now as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the Jerusalem as He rides into Jerusalem. And you all know the story. And then next week we're going to talk as Easter Sunday, the risen Christ. And then the next Sunday, Lord willing, following the risen Christ, serving the risen Christ. So let's look at this triumphal entry. We're all familiar with the story. And so let's just look at this story. And the thing that comes to the mind at the very beginning of the story is the fact that Jesus is the King, and He doesn't look like a king. But He is the King, and He's going to make Himself known. So all the world, all of Jerusalem is going to know Him, and all of Galilee, because they're all in there for the Passover. And they're all going to see Him, and they're going to know Him, and then they're going to see Him go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And then they're going to see Him as he dies, and then as He's raised from the dead, and then He'll go to come again someday, and all the world is going to see Him. But when He wanted to make this trip down the side of the Mount of Olives into the city of Jerusalem, we find out the first of all that He had a need. He needed it. Jesus is telling Him in the Mark chapter 1 and verse 13, He says, "The Lord hath need of them." That is, He is going to have a triumphal entry, but He has somebody, He needs some help here. Now, right at the start, you say, well, isn't that strange? He's God. Why would God have any needs? He made the whole world. He created everything. And He's got all the angels to help Him. Why would He have anybody that He needs to help? And the answer is very simple, and that is He wants His people to have a part in building up His kingdom. And He's talking to His disciples here, and He says, I have a need for you, and I want you to do something for Me. And He gives them the honor. He could have angels do that. He had everything. For instance, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, we're told that He made the earth and everything there is. For instance, we read, Christ Himself is the Creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see, the things we can't see, the spirit world, and its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for His own use and for His glory. So He made these things so that they could help and bless and do something in the advancement of His kingdom. And so the Lord hath need of you. And I want to tell you, dear friends, we all ought to be looking for that. We ought to receive him first of all as our wonderful Savior. And that is, you can do that. And you, why don't you do that right now if you haven't done so before? Just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor sinner, and I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And then tell him you'll serve him the best you can. Remember, Jesus says, go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean you got to be sinless, because nobody's sinless. But he's saying to us, you give up those sins and live for Jesus. Live that Christian life. And when we fail, we go back to him. I've failed him 1,000 times over. And I was started out on the farm. And I remember I used to have a time with those cows. I had to milk cows, and they were the orneriest old things you ever did see. They would kick and stomp and switch and everything. And I just could lose my temper. And I thought, oh boy, now when I accept Jesus, I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And the evangelist says, now you got to do what you're doing, something wrong. You're doing sins. You got to leave them, live for Jesus. I said, well, I know what one of mine is, and that is those cows. And so I'm not going to get mad at the cows. And the first time one of them swatted me, I was mad. And so you can't be perfect, and you're going to fail. But every time you fail, you know what we're told? St. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, that's a one-time deal. Oh, no. How many times you sin? Peter says, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Jesus says, 70 times 7. Others says, you always forgive. There's no end to forgiving. And there is no end to this when we sin. We ask God to forgive us. And the grace of God is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. The love of God is there, and he will help us. And when we fall down, we just get up, ask Jesus to forgive us, and get up and go. Now, you ought to do that today. And then you could be a follower of Jesus Christ. So he made all things. And here he needs to have a donkey. He's going to ride into Jerusalem, and he needs to have a donkey. And so he asks them, he tells his servants, his disciples, now you go to a certain place, it's the parting of the ways, and you'll find a donkey there. And you just take him, and you bring him to me, because I'm going to ride that donkey into Jerusalem. And then Jesus says, now somebody asks you, how come you're taking that donkey? You can't just go take a man's donkey, you know, and he said, you can't steal a man's donkey. And so if somebody says anything to you, why, you just say, the master has need of him. And so they did as Jesus said, and they loosed the donkey, and they're going to come. And somebody says, hey there, wait a minute. What are you doing taking that donkey? And they says, the master has need of him. And they said, go, take him. See, Jesus knows all these things ahead of time. Jesus is never surprised. He's never without words. He's never wordless. Sometimes people ask me questions, I don't even know which way to turn. Never heard of such a thing. And so, but Jesus never's that way, see? And so he'll forgive us, and he knows all these things. And as many times as we come back, he'll forgive us and forgive us and forgive us. And little by little by little, we're going to get on top of it. And maybe we never get totally on top of it, but when he takes us home, then we're going to sin no more. We're going to be perfect forever. And so just come to Jesus and serve this wonderful Jesus and follow him. And see, because really in and of ourselves, we are just nothing. We have no strength. You say, well, I'm in pretty good health. I've been to the Mayo Clinic, and boy, they give me a good report. I'm going to live, boy. I know I can hit 100 years. I feel like $1 million. Well, you know you can't take one breath that God doesn't give you. Your heart can't take one heartbeat. You don't even have a pulse unless God gives it to you. And it's foolishness to say, and the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't even know what the next minute is going to bring forth. And that's why we give ourselves to Jesus and we serve Jesus. And when he calls upon us to follow him and serve him, you know, he has millions upon millions of angels. Any one of them could come here and preach. They could sing, maybe not as good as Jan and Hank sing, but they could do a pretty good backup, I'm telling you. Angels could do that. And you know what? You wouldn't have to pay the angels anything. Now, we don't pay Jan, and don't misunderstand me. Hank and Jan do that out of the goodness of their heart. They do that because they love Jesus. But a preacher, you got to pay a preacher to preach. He's got to have something to live on. Angels wouldn't need any money. They wouldn't need any insurance, health insurance. Their health's just perfect. And they would know everything, and they could get everything. He has millions of angels he could do, but Jesus says, no, I want the redeemed. I want those who've been born again. I want those who are washed in the blood. I want them to serve me. And that's why I'm here. And that's why our technicians are here. And that's why our secretaries are here. We love Jesus and we're serving him. Jesus has a need. And then the king has authority. He says, and I alluded to that. And the king says, now when they will talk to you and they want to know what you're doing, you tell him the master has need of him. Jesus has authority. And so he gives us authority. And that's why I'm preaching today, is because he called me to preach. And he gave me the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, when you have the word of God, you got power unlimited. Because when I preach this word, I know it's going to go all over the world. And I know the Holy Spirit's going to take it up and he's going to apply it to hearts that wouldn't have any idea who you are or what you are or what you've done or anything. And I don't need to know. But the Holy Spirit knows all about it. See? Authority. And I always tell the young men at ordination, I always tell them, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible. Because when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. We don't have to say, I hope it would be, it could be, it might be, I wish it could be. You say, thus saith the Lord, and God says it. And the king has all authority, and by his name I'm coming to preach this word. And he says, preach the word in season and out of season. And he tells me, you be faithful and you preach, and you tell them if they sin and they die in their sins, they're going to go to hell. And you tell them that there's a hell, a literal hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. He says, you tell them. And don't you be afraid of what people say. Don't be afraid, like he told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Just preach the word. And don't try to please people. Don't try to please men. I'm an old man, going to be 95, and just if I live just a few weeks, 95. Who'd have ever dreamed I'd live that long? Well, I haven't lived that long, I guess. 94 I've lived. Who would have ever dreamed I would have lived that long? And all of that time, Jesus has told me, he says, you preach the world, and I found out something. Don't try to please people, because people are fickle. And they may just love you to death enough to eat you if they had ketchup. But then, well, you'd say one thing or do one thing, and they turn around and they're gone. Those are some of those people. I loan them money. That way I know I'll never see them again. I'd get rid of them, see? But I'm going to tell you something about this. Don't try to please men. Please God. Because it's easier to please God than it is to please men. Mark it down. So this wonderful king has all of this knowledge and understanding. And he is saying, telling us what we need to do. And he's telling us to follow him. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. And so he is there. He knows all things. He understands all things. And he's telling us what we need to do, need to turn to Jesus. And so this wonderful Savior, he's this great king now. He doesn't look like a king. He's riding on donkey, and everybody's crying Hosanna, and everybody's loving him, and they're cutting down the branches, and they're throwing down their garments, and they're praising Jesus. And in just a matter of hours, they're going to be crying, crucify him, crucify him. But Jesus wants all the world to know that he is a king. And he doesn't look like a king riding on a donkey, but he is a king. And when he comes again, he's not going to be riding on a donkey. He's going to be coming in power and might. And Isaiah writes about it. And he says he's going to come in the fierceness of the wrath of God, fierceness against sin. And so with this Palm Sunday, this is the time to turn to Jesus and love Jesus. And then when you read about this triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus, you're also struck too by his meekness. Now here he is, creator of all the earth. He's going to have the last word. All the earth is going to bow down and worship him. But at this certain point of time, Jesus Christ is lowly and meek. He says, learn of me because I'm meek and lowly and humble of spirit. And that's what he wants. He's the man of sorrow. And he's not riding on a fiery horse, a war horse, but he's a man of sorrow riding on a donkey. And he's one of us and he's one with us. And pride and violence is always hated by Christ. And he wants us to be loving and to be kind and to be gentle to those about us. And don't be so hard-hearted. And just remember that this Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But yet he is a gentle and kind and meek and a wonderful king. And then he makes us think about his mission. Why did he come? What is the purpose of all of these things? And this mission that he has is going to be that he's going to be the Savior of the world. And he wants all the world to know it. And as St. Paul said, none of these things were done in a corner, but they were done openly so that everything could see and everybody could know. And this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes now. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, but he's riding into the city. He wants all the world to know the King is coming, the Savior is coming. He's coming to die. And in a matter of hours, he's going to go to that old rugged cross and on that cross suffer like no person ever suffered. Well, you say others have been crucified. They suffered. They didn't suffer like Jesus did. You know why? Because Jesus took our sins. And these people that are being put to death, these other thieves are nothing but they're criminals. They're filled with sin and bitterness and wickedness, and they're dying. But the Savior comes to the cross, and he's taking the sins of the world. That's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays. And he sweats as it were great drops of blood. And they say, oh, he must have seen that cross. He knew about that cross. He must have been afraid. He must have been so teary-eyed. He's going to have to die. And he could see those spikes. He could see all those things, and he's frightened to death. No such thing. He didn't shed blood, drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was afraid. He suffered that way because he was taking your sins and my sins and the sins of the world into his holy, sinless, spotless life. He had never sinned in act, in word, or a deed, and now he has all the sins of the world heaped onto one and rolled together and placed upon him, the wonderful Savior. Oh, I am amazed at the love of Jesus. I am amazed at how much he cares for me that he would do that. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes, and this wonderful Savior, and he takes all the sins of the world. And that's why he said, oh, Heavenly Father, if it is possible, let this thing pass from me. If there's any way, what he's saying is, if there's any way to take care of the sins of the people without me going to the cross, well, then let's take that other route. But if there is no other way, if I have to shed my blood to pay for their sins, I will do it. And you know what the writer of Hebrews tells us? The writer of Hebrews tells us that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He rejoiced that he could go and die for you and for me. You can't imagine anybody loving you that much, can you? And so then that's why Jesus suffered. And he suffered. He was the center one on each side. That is, they would always put the worst sinner in the middle. And sure enough, Jesus had the worst sins because he had all the sins of the world. And he was in the middle of those two thieves. And there's where he died. But before he died, he made the saddest cry that human beings on earth has ever heard. And that was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I heard a man preach a sermon one time. He shouldn't have been preaching. He's preached and he says that Jesus, God didn't forsake him. Jesus just thought he did. And then he says a lot of times we think God doesn't hear us, but he does hear us. We just think he doesn't. You know, that man, I hope they didn't ordain him. He sure shouldn't have been in the pulpit, because Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was forsaken of God. And that was the only time. That's why the sun hid its face and there was darkness over all the earth, around the world, darkness, total darkness, because that was the day. There was only one time in all of eternity, coming and going. Well, eternity doesn't have coming and going, just time does. And time ends, and we're in eternity, and there is no time in eternity. And that only one time, God the Father turned his back on his Son and left him to die if all those sins. I don't know how anybody, how you could turn your back on Jesus. How can you say no to the Savior? And so this is what Jesus says. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I had a little boy tell me at a church camp, his name, and he said, I said, just pray that Keith, just pray that, ask Jesus into your heart. And he says, what if I ask him to come in and he won't come in? I only had that one time in 71 years of preaching. Only had one person tell me that. It was a little junior high boy in camp out in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And I said, well, let's look at the verse. And it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, that means for goodness sake, pay attention. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. With all your sins, you say, I sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I sinned anyway. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. And it says, I'll come in. I'll make you wash away your sins. And Isaiah puts it so beautifully. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Hebrews, he says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So now you pray and just say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And he knows that, but he wants you to confess it. I've sinned against you. And maybe if there's some terrible sin that stands out in your life, name it. But just otherwise, just say, I sinned against you. I ask you, dear Jesus, to come into my heart and take away my sin. And then you tell him, I'll turn from my sin the best I can. And I'll follow you the best I can. And then you thank him for saving you. Thank you, dear Jesus, for saving my soul. And then you can say, amen, or I had one man not long ago, and he prayed that prayer. He didn't know anything and no more about prayer than I do flying to the moon. And he prayed that prayer, and instead of saying amen, he said goodbye. Fine, that's fine. Just say the prayer. And if you do, then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. I hope that you'll write to us. And if you've asked Jesus into your heart, be sure to write, because we'll send you some literature and it'll help you get started in the Bible. And in the meantime, to get the Gospel of John, start reading the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful gospel. And then we'll write to you and we'll answer your letters. If you want to help us in the work, you can send a gift. We need it. We need your help. And that's all there is. That's all I'm going to say about it. We need your help. And so you just see what God said. And if you do send a gift, we're in part of the Evangelical Council for my financial accountability. It's all accounted for. Now I want to pray for you, and especially those who accept the Lord and those who are shut-ins. Heavenly Father, I pray there'll be multitudes who'll open their heart to you, be born into the kingdom of God, be born into the body of Christ, have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And to all of those who are on beds of sickness and wheelchairs and beds and walkers and can't get around, dear Lord, help them to know that you are there with them and you're the good shepherd and you take them up in their arms. You take the little lambs in your arms, but Isaiah says he takes the old gray heads in their arms and carries them and helps them. And you told us you'd never leave us or forsake us. And so help, oh God, help people who are struggling, older people maybe. I don't know who it is. Some of the young people aren't well. But whoever it is, help them to know that you are there. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now I want to thank you for having the Christian Worship Hour opening the door for us. And we're praying you'll have a good day today. And that you'll join us next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, do I love to preach about that. And if you want a thrill, you tune us in. And do like some of the people. They tell their friends. Some even call their friends and remind them. So you can join us then all around the world. One body of Christ, worshiping Christ in the heavenlies at Jesus' feet. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.